You know that specific kind of rage?
Oh, I know it well.
The one where you've finally carved out an hour to game. You've got the headset on, you've launched a competitive match, the tension is peaking, and then stutter, a frame drop.
Or worse, that little notification slides in telling you your antivirus just updated itself.
My personal favorite is when the PC fans just spin up to jet engine levels because the OS decided right now was the perfect time to index a file from 3 years ago.
It feels like a betrayal.
It does. It feels like your own computer is actively sabotaging you. And for so long, we've accepted it. We spend thousands on hardware, on these GPUs the size of cinder blocks, and then run an operating system on top that feels like it was designed for, I don't know, accountants.
It's the general purpose problem. Windows has to be everything to everyone. It has to run a AAA game, but it also has to support a fax server from 1998. And that creates this bloated middleman between your game and your hardware.
Well, today's deep dive is for everyone who has ever screamed at their monitor because of a background process. We are digging into a stack of leaked docs, insider reports, all pointing to a project that sounds like fan fiction, but it looks very real.
We're talking about Windows 12 Gaming Edition.
And this isn't just a marketing skin, right?
No, not at all. The sources we're looking at suggest this is a fundamental philosophical pivot from Microsoft. We're talking about a modular kernel, a complete stripping away of that enterprise bloat, and just a raw focus on gaming.
So our mission for this deep dive is simple. Is this the Holy Grail OS we've been waiting for, or is there a catch? But before we get into the specs, we have to talk context. Why now? Microsoft has ignored pleas for a real game mode for decades. What changed?
In a word, fear. Yeah. Honest to God, fear. If you look at the industry landscape around 2025, Microsoft was staring at a terrifying truth.
Terrifying for them, maybe.
Right, for their bottom line. It really all starts with Valve and the Steam Deck. The Steam Deck launched. It ran Linux. And through that Proton compatibility layer, it proved something really dangerous to Microsoft's business model.
That Linux could run Windows games.
And in a lot of cases, run them better, more efficiently than Windows itself.
I remember those benchmarks. You had this little handheld just pushing frame rates that didn't seem possible, all because the OS wasn't eating up 20% of the resources.
Exactly. That was the wake-up call. Yeah. Microsoft realized, wait a minute, we're vulnerable. If Valve perfects a lightweight OS that just plays games, why would a gamer ever buy a Windows license again? They could lose the entire ecosystem.
So competition actually worked. They had to build something better to stop an exodus.
Precisely. They had to strip out all that enterprise junk.
Yeah.
And that brings us right to the first major pillar in these documents. They call it the Great Purge.
The Great Purge. Sounds ominous, but I have a feeling I'm going to like it. We're talking de-bloating.
The most requested feature wasn't some new AI thing. It was subtraction. The docs actually refer to a philosophy of subtraction.
Okay, let's get specific. What's finally getting kicked out of the club?
The biggest one is telemetry and diagnostics.
Now play devil's advocate. Isn't that how they fix bugs? Why does removing it help my frame rate?
It's the observer effect. In regular Windows, the OS is constantly logging data, writing little files, pinging servers, even on a fast SSD. Those constant tiny write operations create I/O contention. It causes micro stutters.
But like someone tapping you on the shoulder every 3 seconds.
Perfect analogy. In the gaming edition, gone. The OS is deaf and blind to your usage.
That sounds golden. What else?
Microsoft 365 integration is completely severed.
So no Teams popping up. No Outlook pre-installed.
Nothing. No renew your Office subscription notifications. The code literally isn't there.
Good. If I'm opening a spreadsheet on my gaming rig, I've already made a huge mistake.
And it goes deeper. They're dropping what they call legacy driver support.
Define legacy. Are we talking about my mouse from a few years ago?
No, no. We're talking about the code Windows carries around to support things like dot matrix printers, fax machines, scanners from 1999.
Right. Okay.
Standard Windows is huge because it has to support everything. This edition just drops it all as a clean break.
I don't think I need fax support for Call of Duty, so that makes sense. So what's the payoff? We have some leaked benchmark data from this inspector's analysis. What does the purge actually look like in numbers?
This is the part that really made my jaw drop. On a fresh install of Windows 11, idle RAM usage is around 4.2 gigabytes.
Which is a lot. On a 16 gig system, you've lost a quarter of your memory before you even open a game.
In these Windows 12 Gaming Edition builds, idle usage drops to 1.3 gigabytes.
Wait, say that again, from 4.2 down to 1.3?
Yeah. It's almost a 70% reduction in the memory footprint.
So for you listening, if you have that 16GB machine, you've just magically found almost 3 GB of extra RAM.
Exactly. That's 3 gigs that's now available for high-res textures, for shader caches. It's basically a free hardware upgrade just from the software.
That is massive. But freeing up resources is one thing. What about making games look better? This brings us to the second pillar, AutoSR.
AutoSR, Automatic Super Resolution.
Okay, so we know upscaling. We have DLSS, FSR. They're household names now. Why do we need another one from Microsoft?
The problem with DLSS and FSR is implementation. The game developer has to add it. If you want to play a game from, say, 2016, you're just out of luck.
So AutoSR is different because it doesn't need the developer at all.
Right. It lives in the OS itself. The game renders a frame, and before that frame ever gets to your monitor, Windows intercepts it.
It hijacks the image.
In a good way. It grabs the frame, passes it to the NPU, the neural processing unit, and all these new chips, and uses AI to upscale it. Then it sends the finished upscaled image to your display.
Okay, let's walk through a real world case. I want to play an old DirectX 11 game, like Batman, Arkham City. I'm on a 4K monitor, but my GPU struggles at native 4K.
With AutoSR, you'd set the game's internal resolution to something low, like 720p.
Mm-hmm.
The game engine is happy. It's pushing out 140 frames per second. But what you see on your screen is a crisp, AI-upscaled 4K image.
That's basically a remaster button for your entire Steam library.
It breathes new life into thousands of legacy titles. And since it's using the dedicated NPU, it's not fighting the GPU for resources. It's a free performance boost.
That sounds incredible. Okay, so games run leaner. They look sharper. But we still have to wait for them to load. We've been promised the death of loading screens for years. Does this finally deliver?
This is where Direct Storage Gen 2 comes in. And the key word in the documents here is mandatory.
Mandatory.
Meaning if you don't have the hardware, it just won't work. To get why it's so important, you have to look at the old way games load data. Think of it like a bucket brigade.
Okay.
Your game data is on your fast SSD. To get to the graphics card, it has to go to the CPU first. The CPU has to decompress it, then send it to system RAM, and then finally over to the GPU.
And the CPU is the slow middleman.
It's a huge bottleneck. The CPU is busy calculating physics and AI. Now you're asking it to decompress gigabytes of textures. That's where you get that stutter when you enter a new area in a big open world game.
So how does the Windows 12 way fix the bucket brigade?
It fires the middleman. Direct Storage Gen 2 lets the NGME SSD shoot data directly into the GPU's VRAM.
And the GPU does the decompression itself.
Exactly. GPUs are massively parallel. They're built for that kind of work. We're talking gigabytes of data moved in milliseconds.
So this isn't just about the initial loading bar. This changes how games are designed.
Think about a game like GTA Jax. You're flying a jet across the map. The game needs to stream in 8K textures instantly. With the old way, you get that ugly pop-in where buildings look like clay.
Right. It completely ruins the immersion.
With the Direct Storage Gen 2, that data stream is unblocked. You just get seamless, high-fidelity worlds.
I'm sold on the storage. But there's one more piece. Competitive gamers, they care about smoothness, consistency.
The 1% lows.
Exactly. The micro-stutters that make you miss a shot. The solution here is called Game Mode 2.0. And I have to be skeptical. Game Mode in Windows 10 was a joke. It was a placebo button.
You're not wrong. It was superficial. But the docs for 2.0 describe a total rewrite of the CPU scheduler.
Mm.
This is deep kernel-level stuff.
The scheduler is the traffic cop for the computer, right? It decides who gets to use the CPU.
Exactly. And the new system is built for modern chips through their mix of performance cores and efficiency cores.
So how does it manage traffic differently?
When it detects a full-screen game, it creates a high-priority sandbox. It takes every other process, Discord, Spotify, your browser, and it violently shoves them onto the e-cores.
It banishes them to the kids' table.
So locks them in the basement. And then it gives the game exclusive, uninterrupted access to all the p-cores. It even disables things called interrupt requests.
Explain that for the non-engineers.
An interrupt is when other software or hardware can tap the CPU on the shoulder and say, hey, pay attention to me. Game Mode 2.0 basically tells the rest of the computer, do not speak to the performance cores unless the house is literally on fire.
That is intense.
The goal is a flat frame time graph. It's just hitting 144 FPS. It's staying there without those tiny dips that you feel.
I think every competitive shooter fan just got goosebumps. But we have to pivot to where people are actually playing. PC gaming isn't just towers anymore. It's handhelds.
The ROG Ally, the Legion Go, the rumored Xbox handheld. It's a huge market. And Windows on those devices is, well, it's garbage.
Oh, it's a nightmare. Trying to tap that tiny little X to close a window on a 7-inch touchscreen makes you want to throw it.
Exactly. It's a major friction point. So Windows 12 introduces the console shell UI. It's a dual shell system.
Meaning it can transform itself.
Yes. Yeah. You still have your normal desktop mode for mouse and keyboard, but you can toggle into controller mode, which they're also calling the dashboard.
And what's that experience like?
The taskbar vanishes. The icons disappear. The whole UI shifts into big, chunky, touch-friendly tiles like an Xbox dashboard. You can navigate the whole thing with thumbsticks and shoulder buttons.
So it finally acknowledges the hardware it's on. It stops pretending to be a desktop and acts like a console.
Yes. You can boot up your handheld and get straight into a game without ever seeing a mouse cursor. It removes all that friction.
Okay, this all sounds suspiciously perfect. We've got more RAM, AI upscaling, instant loading, smooth frames, a good UI. There has to be a catch.
There is. This is a lean OS, but it demands bleeding edge hardware.
Let's run through the checklist. What do I need to run this?
CPU, you're looking Intel 14th gen or Ryzen 7000 series or newer.
14th gen? That's really recent. Why can't my 12th gen chip run it?
It comes down to a specific instruction set called AVX10.
AVX10.
It's for handling complex math, basically what's needed for that integrated AI upscaling. Older chips, they don't speak the language. The OS wouldn't even boot.
That's a huge hurdle. What's next?
An NPU is highly recommended. You can run without one, but then the AI tasks fall back to your GPU, which kind of defeats the purpose.
Got it. And storage.
This is the funeral for the mechanical hard drive. NVMe SSD is mandatory. The doc suggests the OS will flat out refuse to install on a spinning disk.
Ruthless. And RAM.
16 GB is the absolute floor. Which makes sense. Even if the OS is lean, the games are not getting any smaller.
So, timeline, when does this actually hit the market?
The whispers point to holiday 2026.
2026. That feels far away, but also calculated.
Very calculated. That's when we expect the NVIDIA RTX 50 series to drop. It's when we expect the next generation of handhelds. Microsoft is timing this to be the software wave that rides that new hardware wave.
A coordinated attack on our wallets.
Pretty much. They want you to buy a new PC, and they want it running this out of the box.
So how do the sources sum this all up? What's the commander's verdict?
They call it Microsoft's apology letter to PC gamers.
An apology letter. I like that.
It's an admission that treating a gaming PC like an office workstation was a mistake. They're finally unlocking the potential of the hardware we've all been buying for years.
It's compelling. So let's recap the three big takeaways for everyone listening.
Sure. Pillar one, deep loading, getting about 3 gigs of your RAM back.
Yep.
Pillar two, OS-level AI upscaling with AutoSR, making old games new again. And pillar three, a rewritten scheduler that's all about smooth frame times.
It really does sound like the biggest shift in PC gaming in a long time, but here's the thought I want to leave you with.
Go for it.
We spent this whole time talking about how this OS is lightweight and lean, and yet, to run this lightweight OS, you need some of the most expensive modern hardware on the planet. You need an NPU, you need AVX10, you need a top-tier NVMe drive.
It is a bit of an irony, yeah.
It begs the question, is this a free upgrade? Or is it really just a way to force everyone into a massive hardware refresh cycle? Are you willing to upgrade your computer just to run the operating system that runs your games?
That's the paradox. You need a supercomputer to run the simple version of Windows.
It's a brave new world, and it's going to be an expensive one. Check the show notes if you want to geek out on the architecture docs yourself.
And probably start saving for that new CPU.
Stay curious, everyone. We'll see you on the next deep dive.